independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 Days of Giving, sponsored by Veritex Community Bank. On the first day, we'd like to give back to Star of Hope, a Christ-centered community dedicated to meeting the needs of homeless men, women, and their children. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Plus, David Gao, CEO of Gao Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So head to ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to Star of Hope now. No donation will go unnoticed. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Evan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
Hey, Ev. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course, man. On my lunch break, I was putting on. But, yeah, I just wanted to say, I think you guys, yeah, I agree. David Culley's completely the fall guy. With no Deshaun Watson and in the lack of all the draft picks you've had in the last couple of years, he's clearly the guy they're just going to fire after 2 years and acquired a bunch of picks. But my thing is, you know, with Jack Easterby still hanging around that building, I just don't, even if when they fire him and move on, it's just hard for me to see this team getting much better. Just seems like the culture in the locker room and then the relationship with the fans, it's just so completely gone that I think until they get rid of that guy, I don't know, man. I just don't see it getting much better. I have season tickets back home with my family, and my dad's been to every single game this year, and I have never seen, since the Texans became a team, the stadium's so empty and the fans just so divided. Where do you guys stand with that? Do you think that that's something that they're going to change, or that you know, will get changed eventually, or what do you see with all that?
Appreciate the call, Evan. I'll take it first, Jeremy, take a stab at it. Here's my thinking. We've said all along, there's a means to an end, right? If there's a head coach you don't get along with, if there's a general manager you don't get along with, if there's people in the organization and you're a good enough player or the fan base can act up or the record and numbers show it, owner's not one of those deals. And we already know that the McNair family's not selling this team. And regardless of how bad it's gotten, it's still one of 32 NFL owners that are rolling around in cash on a nightly basis if they so choose. But I do think that the scapegoat, just like we're talking about David Culley, the scapegoat for Cal could inevitably at some point be Jack Easterby. It's the only way you can get rid of him, short of Nick Caserio taking a stance and going, he's got to go. I gave it a chance because he helped me get the gig, but he's got to go. Other than that, these signs by Ronnie, this kind of uprising that's coming, that's building, that continues to grow with the fan base and all the unhappy Texans fans, if it gets to a point where Cal knows he's not selling the team, but he realizes, hey, at least so that I get him off my ass, if I fire Easterby, I think I can buy some time here for the fences to get mended.
To me, the pressure to fire Easterby was never hotter than it was whenever you hired Caserio. Like, to me, that was the obvious time to do it when the pressure was at its hottest, because you had Deshaun Watson before the allegations that was demanding a trade, right? So what was the easy way to get Deshaun Watson back on board? It was just to fire Jack Easterby. But he picked Easterby more than Deshaun Watson. And since then, you've had, you know, fans just, you know, abandoning ship. Now you don't really have as much fire under your feet because a lot of folks are just disinterested. Like, there's 50% of the fans are just disinterested and don't even care about the Houston Texans. They don't even watch the Houston Texans. They just don't even want to think about the Houston Texans. Back when Deshaun was your quarterback, you still felt like you had hope. You felt like you could have Deshaun, you could hire a new coach, you're going to bring in a new general manager. There was still some optimism there. But then Easterby sticking around, they made that very clear. Then the Deshaun Watson stuff, you know, the off-the-field stuff happened. And now you're just a laughingstock of a franchise. So any sort of fandom that you have has been diminished by a lot. Whenever you have less fans, you have less fire. Like, they picked Jack Easterby over Deshaun Watson in the offseason. That's where the Houston Texans were in this past offseason. That's crazy to me. So I don't feel like they ever will fire Jack Easterby unless Jack Easterby wants to leave. I feel like Cal McNair has already made that decision.
I don't know that they chose Jack over Deshaun, because Deshaun ended up inevitably sealing his own fate with all the other stuff too. But I think that where they lost Deshaun was he said Cal's got to go for me to stay with this team after all of the missteps. He didn't put it on Easterby. And the fact that if you'd have hired any other general manager, Maybe he's your buddy, and you don't want that to be on your shoulders that you fired your buddy and it would affect your friendship. But if you had hired any one of those other five, I think you're with me in the fact that none of those five people are keeping Jack Easterby around, maybe not even as team chaplain, because of the fact that they've read the articles, they've heard the reports, they know how deeply entrenched he was in everything Bill O'Brien did and Cal was doing. So I think the only way he salvaged it, and I don't think that's why it was the choice between one or the other, was the fact that he went and convinced Cal that he's got a guy that could do everything that all the five guys that the committee suggested could do, and maybe more, and keep it Patriot-way-esque. And that bought him some time. But I don't think it was a choice of they chose him over him. I think they just kind of chose the fact that they were going to stick with the Patriots' way.
Could be. And they also picked a general manager that wasn't on that list that was also going to come with Easterby. Like, it would have been a natural time to get rid of Easterby if you hire a different general manager.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you picked any one of those other five, no one's keeping Easterby
right.
around.
So Cal McNair has already made a hard decision at least once to keep Jack Easterby around. I don't feel like there would be a more difficult time to keep him than what they already experienced this past offseason. So Easterby's here for the long haul. Easterby is going to be here for a very long time. I believe that you can repair that. I believe you can win with Jack Easterby in this organization. It's just going to be the path of more difficult resistance. Like, if he's not responsible for the 53, that's great. He's just a symbolism of what you used to have. He's a symbol of this franchise going from, you know, being a playoff team to now being a dumpster fire. He is the face of that as far as the Houston Texans are concerned.
Let me give you another scenario where he's not going to be here for the long term, okay? The team has a good draft. The team gets picks for Deshaun. The team starts showing steady progress.
But that's why he would be here if you show momentum.
Hang on. Culley's not the guy.
Yeah.
You go out and get a proven head coach in the NFL that, whether he's a my way or the highway guy or not, and whether he has a relationship with Caserio or not, the one thing that he has pushback on is, this guy's pissing me off. He's in my locker room. He's in my players' faces. He's at practice every day. I don't like him. I need something done. That's where it could be short-term rather than long-term. You get a guy, and I'm just throwing names out there, but if you had a Mike Tomlin, if you had a guy that's a my way or a highway type head coach, and they came in here and they said, don't care what you did previous to me, don't care what you promised them and agreed to, don't care if he got you the job or not, but he's not going to be around my basketball team. I mean, my football team. And I'm thinking about the same way that I've seen this happen in basketball a lot of ways. And the latest of which was when Rick Carlisle had enough of Mark Cuban having one of his guys that was a former gambling guy that was there and constantly at practice, constantly, you know, talking to the players without permission, constantly doing things. And it was a push comes to shove situation. If you get a new coach with some clout that comes in to take over for Culley short term, maybe Culley has one or two more years. But say Culley has one more year. You bring that kind of guy in here, and he has to deal with Easterby and he pisses him off, that could be the way he gets out.
That would require the Texans hiring that type of coach. And you know who's not going to be for that? Jack Easterby. You know who's not going to be for that? Maybe Nick Caserio. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Rockets, though, are red hot. They won their sixth straight yesterday. They beat up on the Pelicans of New Orleans without Zion Williamson. 1-10, 118-108. Maybe the bigger storyline was the fact that Deshaun Watson's girlfriend, goes by Jilly, took the first shot for the Rockets. Like, what? Why is she taking the first shot at a Houston Rocket basketball game? Like, I don't understand this at all. What kind of, you know, what do you have going on there in the PR where Jilly's the one taking the first shot?
Dr. Dre on 290 found this, and he was the one that brought it to my attention. I looked at it, and I was like, I mean, seriously? Houston's a massive city full of entertainers and celebrities and all kinds of people from all walks of life, of fame and stardom, and this is where you chose to go? And as a Rockets organization that I used to be very dialed into, I can't believe that if the first person didn't catch it, someone else that's hip to everything going on in Houston or hip to pop culture goes, probably not a good idea to do this right now. And on the flip side, is she really like her own celebrity to that degree? I get it. She has a ton of followers on social media, on the gram and whatever, but you can't tell me that's enough to translate to she should be the first shot representing celebs or, you know, important people in Houston taking the free throw.
What's her thing? What's her shtick? Is she just an influencer?
I believe she's just an internet model, or what do they call that? Instagram model.
That's
an
what
Instagram
I call
model.
Sure.
An Instagram model. I think that's what she is. That's okay. Where we've gotten to in the bowels. I think at this point we could just cancel the first shot then. If we're just going to start throwing any Instagram model out there on the free throw line, the fellas might like the visuals, But what the hell are we doing?
But especially the Sean's girl.
Exactly.
There's stuff going on. Six wins, the longest in the NBA, though, for the Rockets. Someone brought it to my attention that you caught a little heat for saying that the Rockets should trade Christian Wood, who right now is their best player.
Tweeted out last night two different tweets. Eric Gordon's stock couldn't be higher. Trade him. No one had a problem with that. And then I said, Christian Wood continues to have stock on the rise. Trade him. And I got pushback, and people were like, are you kidding me? He's our best player.
But he is.
He is, and that's why you trade him, because he's not going to be your best player forever. He's already been a problem child in the locker room and with a lot of different – with players, coaches, and management when things aren't going his way. And I've highlighted that in the past. But more so than anything else, he's come out outspokenly and said, my next contract, I'm going to be a max player. If Christian Wood is a max player for your team sucks. Your team is middle of the road at best. He's not worthy of max money. And because, as we're talking about in rebuilds, you need the right veterans around your young players. He's commanding the ball a lot. He wants the offense to go through him. He wants all these things that are going to stunt the development of guys that you are, your 19-year-old crew and your young players that you're trying to develop into franchise-type players. That's going to prevent them from getting as many touches. It's not a negative on anybody, but you could possibly trade him to a team. And I've given you examples in the past with Golden State. You might be able to get Wiseman, Lee, and a couple of draft picks from Golden State. That helps your rebuild. It helps Golden State by getting a player, whether they use him off the bench or in their starting lineup, that can give them the kind of rebounding and points that they might need in spot duty. But it makes you a better team in the long haul. It's not a negative on – I'm not trying to piss Rockets fans off. I'm saying smart businesses make that move for the betterment of the long term of your team.
Even though he's your best player and you're only 3.5 games out of the playoffs?
Do you know how bad it would hurt to be in the play-in and make the playoffs for this team?
Look, I've been the one saying stay in the bottom three. You were like, no, win games.
No, I said they're going to still end up being in the bottom
three. I hope you're right.
But I also thought the Pelicans were going to get better. Did you see the picture of Zion, by the way?
I did.
I thought he was playing nose guard for the Bears.
Well, the camera adds 15 pounds.
And the sweat, and the sweats are thick, too, right?
There were four or five cameras on him.
Good Lord. And by the way, you mentioned Polillo earlier, and I was chuckling. Mario Elie tweeted out last night a picture of a T-shirt that evidently they had made up that he liked with Rudy's supposed quote on it. There's the old ketchup and mustard logo at the bottom of it.
Don't underestimate the heart of a champion?
Although, Jeremy, that's the appropriate quote. On the T-shirt, and this is a hot button with Mr. Polillo, it says, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Interesting. I would trade Wood, too. I would trade Wood. He's in the last year of his deal next year. And
that's,
you're right.
Yeah, that's
bring
what
back
I was
assets.
That was the response I was tweeting to people last night, too. On top of everything I just said, the fact that you have a position of control to where you're going to get a haul for him this year. Next year, the last year of the deal, ain't nobody giving you any kind of significant assets coming back unless there's an extension agreed upon as part of the move. Other than that, they know it's a fire sale kind of move because you got to get rid of him before you lose him. And if we get him, there's no guarantee he's staying. So we're not giving you hardly what we'd give you if we knew he was going to stay for a couple of years.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, college football playoff is set. Some big victories over the weekend. And go back to some stuff that Tim Brando said earlier when he joined us. Is the college football playoff corrupt? That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. I love Fitz Roofing. I love them because I speak, and the only reason I speak for them is because they get the job done right the first time with the best ratings in the business, and their sole goal is to make sure they take care of everybody in the Houston and surrounding areas that want them to do work because they know through word of mouth and good ratings, they're going to continue to get business and be a staple in this community. Corey's not only the owner of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association, so he's credible. He's got everybody backing him, knowing he's an expert. But then from commercial jobs to residential jobs, from leaky roofs to a whole new roof on the building, to the fact that they can do home repairs and so much more like a fence in your yard, they take the time to make sure they make a difference and that they don't have you have to do a lot of extra work once you sign on with them to try and get the job done right. They're not deposit thieves trying to get your money up front and then just skipping the rest of what goes into getting the deal done right. They are people that take care of Houstonians. Best ratings in the business, best products in the business, and also the best warranties. Why would you go anywhere else? Check out the variety of services at FITZRoofing.com. But better yet, give them a call. 832-521-3001. Get that free no-obligation inspection today. They come to you and tell you what you can do. It costs you absolutely nothing. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Nick Saban, man. He was in a good mood. It's usually fatal. Yummy. Probably as yummy as the two oatmeal cream pies each for breakfast every single day of the year. No one saw this coming, though. I look, you said this. I thought it'd be a closer game, too. It was a game I stayed away from. Bama getting 6.5 I thought was weird. No one saw them beating Georgia by 17 points. That vaunted Georgia defense had only given up 6.5 points all year. Bill O'Brien's crew hung 41 on that tenacious defense at Georgia.
Well, I mean, all year long there were questions about, and people were enjoying a down year for Alabama. Young quarterback that they were going to have to work on developing. It was going to take time. Bill O'Brien, the new offensive coordinator, took heat for its play calling in the red zone, not running the football enough, doing a lot of things. But every single year, Nick Saban finds a way. And now they're the favorite to win it all. And when you look at it and say, it's hard to argue with as good of a story as Michigan is, as Cinderella of a story as Cincinnati is, as much as Georgia, who has been there all season long, now people are doubting because they don't look like offensively they're anywhere close. And suddenly, the cream rises to the top. It's Alabama once again. They got the hands-down Heisman Trophy winner, and they look like they're clicking at the right time. I hate it because I love parity in college football, and I like getting other teams involved, and I'd like to see great games. And even the way they set it up, I'm not sure we're going to get great games, although I am looking forward to Georgia-Michigan.
Cincinnati's going to beat Bama.
If you want to bet on that game and just get straight up, and I'll take Bama.
Why would I bet that straight up? You're always trying to get me in these sucker bets. Why would I ever say
you just came out on live radio and said unequivocally – Cincinnati's going to beat Bama. I don't just like pull that out of my ass and go, hey, Jeremy, here's an idea. We should make a bet, and I think you should just do this right now. But if you come out with that statement first, I'm like, okay, well, if you really feel that solid about it, let's just call that one just straight up.
Will you give me plus 415?
No.
Well, I'm not going to ignore value.
I'm sorry, Brendan, as the referee. Did he not just come right out and say, just like in a very, very stern fashion, Cincinnati's going to beat Alabama? He didn't say with the points they're going to cover.
I could bet on the money line at plus 415. Why would I bet that with you straight up? Makes absolutely no sense.
Because you came out and you said it. I wouldn't say
that. I can say that and get plus 415, then plus 100 that I would get with you. I'm not an idiot.
But if, I don't know. If I came out and said the same kind of thing, you'd be all over me too.
No, I wouldn't. I would say bet the money line, get the value is what I would say.
I don't think so. I think you're very keen. Look, I know some of your stories. You're keen.
I could try to take advantage.
Yeah,
of
I was going to say you're very keen on taking advantage about someone if they make a statement like that. I don't think you're going to suggest they do the right thing financially and do it that way, especially if it's presented to you. You'd be the same way, going, "Oh, really? I'll take that bet if you'd like to make one."
I'm not an idiot. You're asking me to take four times less value than I can get playing it anywhere else. More than four times less value than anywhere else. Kirby Smart, meanwhile, he mentioned that they'll be better because of their loss to Alabama on Saturday.
It's a great learning experience for our guys to understand that now you've got to go look at yourself in the mirror and say, we got to figure out what's the best thing we do and how do I get better at this point? And I do think you can get better at this point. And I think our guys got a good awakening of that. And they'll do nothing but work hard now to be the best they can be. We haven't played the best version of ourselves. I've said that all year. And that's our job as coaches, to get the best version of them out. And we got to do that.
Kirby Smart wants to see anybody else across the field from him than Nick Saban. Nick Saban eats his lunch every single time that they play. He's got a better team, arguably. And he's got hammered by Alabama in a down year for Alabama. Kirby is hoping he can win in Cincinnati, upsets Alabama in the first round.
Unlike the the Belichick tree and all the things being said, the one thing you don't want to be is the Saban tree and then having to go back and play Saban. The track record speaks for itself. I mean, aside from Jimbo getting him this year, he dominates his former assistant coaches. And that's why you can understand from Kirby's perspective, he has been the freaking the dream shatterer for, for Kirby Smart more than once. And he may end up doing it one more time before the season is over. But I don't want to say that the Bulldogs are pretenders, right? Because of the fact that their defense has been just unbelievable all year long. And you can look at their schedule and say, did they really play anybody significantly enough? But you know what? You play the schedule it's given to you. You do what they've done all season long. But the fact that they got worked the way they did last week, there's nothing that makes me believe, as much as I think they can get by Michigan, there's nothing that makes me believe they can beat Alabama if they meet again.
See, I think Michigan's getting slept on a little bit. Like, if you're talking about value that I like in this, I like Michigan. You mentioned that Alabama's a favorite to win it all, plus 120. Georgia's a plus 125. Michigan plus 500. And then Cincy's plus 1,000. I like the value from the non-SEC schools. Tim Brando of Fox Sports joined us earlier. Had some wonderful things to say. Full interview at ESPN975.com. Look, the Final Fours, Bama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati. Tim Brando's of the opinion that if Oklahoma State would have won, Cincinnati would not have been in.
Now, they could all jump up and down and say, look what we did for Portland and Cincinnati. We finally let a group of five team in for five. But that's just part of it. And they wouldn't have done it if Oklahoma State could have gotten an extra half yard. If he had hit the pylon and Oklahoma State had won that game, they would have been in. That's what I'm telling you.
That was Tim Brando who joined us earlier. Do you believe that if Oklahoma State wins that they jump Cincinnati?
I don't. I think, especially with the human element in it, they're concerned about the backlash they would have gotten had they done that. And the fact that Cincinnati didn't lose, they beat a ranked team. They played their schedule just like they're supposed to do, too. And if you firmly believe all those things and they don't have a loss, then I think that they would not have done that for that very reason of the backlash would have been overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe that they would have unless Oklahoma State won convincingly.
Right.
One thing that hurt Oklahoma State, too, is that Baylor had a backup freshman quarterback playing. And if the committee takes everything into consideration, they should have taken that into consideration. And I also believe it would have taken, like, a Cincinnati three-point win over Houston.
That's what
I was
going to say.
Like, in a fluky way.
Yeah, that's the other element. If Cincinnati didn't win convincingly, and then Oklahoma State just blew the doors off of Baylor, then there would have been an argument to be made. But because it went down the way it went down and everything basically kept chaos from being involved in the final decision, I don't think there's – I disagree with Tim. He was fun to have on, but I can't see it that with a straight mind and clear conscience that committee could have been able to get away with that.
Brent Venables to Oklahoma, like the hire?
Yeah, I like the hire from the standpoint of he's a guy that has some credibility. He's a guy that's a defensive-minded coach. That seems like he can also get, you know, some order restored and make sure that they don't slip off too far. The bigger question to me was not Oklahoma related, but with him leaving, with the fact that with a great run of what Clemson's put together over the last 5 or 6 years, is it possible that we've seen the end of the heyday of Clemson football? Is it possible that when Dabo looks at everything and goes, I'm using my highest paid assistant coach that everybody believes is one of the reasons why we've won the way we've won, inventable. We look at the fact that because we slipped up and picked the wrong quarterback, that maybe we're going to have recruiting issues. The SEC got better again and added two of the two powerhouses from the Big 12. We're in the ACC. Did we have a good run, but is it over?
See, I couldn't disagree with you more on that. I feel like Clemson's far from being over. Like, they may still had a solid year this year. They're going to finish top 20 in the nation. They just didn't have a great quarterback. They'll get it figured out. Joe Brady fired from Carolina. Looked like Matt Rhule trying to save his bacon a little bit. He wanted 30 to 33 rushes a game. And I think this was Joe Brady this was Matt Rhule saying, look, you're not doing what I'm saying. I'm going to try to preserve my job. I think Joe Brady's going to be a hot commodity for some college in the offseason.
I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's still a blemish. I think people will ask questions. I think they'll ask what happened there because how quickly he had fallen from how everybody wanted him when he was at LSU to the fact that, you know, in his first year in the NFL, he did very well and people were still looking at him. And now suddenly, whether he's a scapegoat or otherwise, look, it was a very unenviable position to be in when McCaffrey after the hot start, he's the first to go down. Then you realize Darnold's not the guy. Then you grasp at straws and bring in Cam. And after one quick little hiccup of success, he gets pulled from a game and looks horrible. And Rhule doesn't want that on him. So he probably puts it on somebody else and says, this is the reason the offense has been bad. I just think at the end of the day, especially in college football, someone's going to go, I'll take you as my offensive coordinator right now. No qualms about it. I'll be just fine. I don't know if he'll get a head coaching job, but I guarantee you he'll have a ton to choose from an offensive coordinator perspective.
Head coach someday, not right now. He's got to revitalize his career. Miami, meanwhile, hiring Mario Cristobal. They fired Manny Diaz a little bit earlier today. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. One NFL team that rose from the grave yesterday. That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, Christmas right around the corner. You probably haven't done your shopping yet. Well, I've got an idea for you. It doesn't mean you have to go to the mall. It doesn't mean you have to wrap presents. It means all you've got to do is get on Pajamagram.com. Get on Pajamagram right now. Give her the next best thing to wearing absolutely nothing. It's the gift that just keeps on giving. You buy it for her, and then you get to see her in it. And then, well, you know that it's the season of giving, and presents abound under the tree and otherwise if you go to Pajamagram. They have these soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas, sensuous and smooth. Naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. They're even more alluring than lingerie. The texture, the touch of these pajamas, so seductive, you'll both love the feel of them, if you know what I mean. Leave nothing to the imagination with natural nude pajamas. She loves the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. You love the feeling of how she looks in them and the fact that you're going to be right there with her every step of the way when she's wearing them. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you, free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram is also going to include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. This free gift packaging, free naturally nude nightie, all for you give to her, and then she gives back to you. It's a phenomenal holiday season right on the cusp. All you got to do is get to Pajamagram.com and then order naturally nude pajamas. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Garoppolo looks. Ball is tipped up in the air. It's going to fall to the ground. The Seahawks are going to win this football game. The 4th-and-3 pass was tipped at the line of scrimmage. I don't know who tipped it, but I want to go down and shake that man's hand. I might have been Dunlap. And on 4th down and goal from the 3, the Seahawks take over, and they'll have one knee, and this game will be over. And the Seahawks will break a losing streak that has been unlike anything the Seahawks and their fans have seen in the last decade.
It's a three-game losing streak. Come to Houston, big guy. See what it feels like down here. Something that they've never seen. KIRO 710 ESPN Seattle. The Seahawks, just the bottom of the NFL. Their three-game losing streak finally came to an end.
He is coming to Houston this week. He'll be able to experience all of it.
That's true. Yeah, 5% chance.
Now, let me ask you a question. A week ago, we were talking about bridge quarterbacks, veteran experienced quarterbacks that could come to the Texans.
Bridgewater?
Do you still want Jimmy G? Did you see some? I don't know if you saw much of that game.
Yeah, I did. I watched a good chunk of it. I think Jimmy G's fine.
He made
fine.
Some awful throws and decisions yesterday.
He's better than, I don't know, he's better than like 5 to 7 starters in the NFL. I still believe he's a top 32 quarterback in the world.
He's Boy, he looked bad yesterday. I was looking at him going, I would take Baker Mayfield before I'd take him. I would take it's Tua close. Before I'd take him. I'm looking at a lot of situations going, yikes, man. Jimmy G, glad you got the bag of cash when you did, because I'm not sure a whole lot of teams are going to believe you could be their starting quarterback.
He's better than Bridgewater, in my opinion. He's better than Tyrod Taylor.
Better than Sam Darnold.
Better than Sam Darnold.
Or Cam.
He's probably currently better than Zach Wilson, although you're going to play the promise in Zach Wilson. Is he better than Big Ben?
I mean, in a year, you don't have to worry about it if you believe what he's telling Adam Schefter.
Better than Trevor Lawrence?
Right now, yes.
But you're going to play the promise. Derek Carr? I like Derek Carr more.
No, I think Derek Carr was an MVP candidate early in the season. He's played well all season with all the adversity the Raiders had.
Philly?
Yeah, he's
probably
better. He's better than Jalen Hurts.
I think Jalen Hurts isn't even the best quarterback they have on that team.
No, Gardner Minshew.
I mean, I still – look, Jimmy G, like bottom third for sure. I still believe he's a top 32 quarterback in the world. It's why they also drafted Trey Lance. They don't believe Jimmy Garoppolo can be the guy that takes him there. The Seahawks beating the 49ers yesterday 30-23, and thank goodness for Seattle fans that that hard three-game losing streak is all over. Niners' three-game winning streak snapped as well. Adrian Peterson had 11 carries in that game. What are we doing in the NFL? Meanwhile, the team that rose from the grave. How about what the Pittsburgh Steelers did?
Jackson in the gun. Freeman stands to his right. Freeman gets a fake. Big rush. He throws it. It is dropped by Mark Andrews. Had one hand on it. Out in the right flat, and he dropped the ball. And the Steelers preserve a victory with 12 seconds to go. Wow!
They came back to victory. They didn't come back to win the game, but they able to get the stop on the 2-point conversion. They win 20-19 over the Ravens. 102.5 WDVE. The call. Are you okay with a 2-point conversion attempt?
Well, if you believe Harbaugh, the reason was they were so depleted at corner that if they went to overtime, they were going to lose. I don't know that I like the decision at all. I get it based on the fact that they always say, look, home road team, you know, if you're at home, you play for the tie. If you're on the road, you play for the win. All those other things, and you can factor in a bunch more. And it was a good play call. It was just, whether you say it was the throw, it was just slightly out of reach. But it looked like it could have worked. I just think the safe play there is you play for overtime, you take your chances. I didn't like the call at all.
I'm good with it. They've been aggressive at times this season that have worked for them. Lamar Jackson wanted to go for the win. Marlon Humphrey, that you mentioned, the cornerbacks that are depleted, he tore his pec more than likely. Could
it's
be out
huge
for the
loss
year.
For them.
I mean, for a depleted secondary and a depleted team. I also believe you should go for two on the road. They were the road team. Go
that's
for
what
the
I said,
victory.
On the road, that's what they say to encourage you to do because of the momentum and the home field and all that other things. I just think that knowing it's the Steelers of this year, not the Steelers of old, and you have been playing good football recently, even though Lamar had a four-interception game, I think if you're the Ravens and you are who you think you are, you should have felt like in overtime we can beat them.
You're also at the coin flip, though. You're at the mercy of the flip a bit. So that kind of comes into play.
I mean, Ben played better, but you think Ben's going to leave a drive all the way down the field against their defense
and
get a touchdown?
I don't.
I don't either. That's why I think here's one to contemplate for you guys.
Here's another thing, just real quick before you change points on that. Like, it's easy to play hindsight in that, but actually, like, even if you play hindsight in that, Mark Andrews should have caught the ball.
I don't know, man. It was on his fingertips. I don't know. It was a one-handed
grab. I felt like
grab.
He tried to showboat it a little bit. I feel like if he puts the second line up there, he
I don't.
It.
I felt like it was just slightly – it wasn't a horrible throw.
It wasn't a perfect throw.
Right.
It wasn't
but
a perfect
I think
throw.
That if it had been a slightly better throw where he could get two mitts on it, I think they probably win the game because he's the security blanket of Jackson. But he had made – even in that game, he makes so many big catches for them that I believe he should have caught anything that he could put his hand on. But that was a tough catch. Is it possible the Ravens can go from the number one seed in the AFC just a few weeks ago to not making the playoffs? If Humphreys is out, they've already taken so many injuries. Their defense is starting to get depleted. Their offense ain't great. With all the parity right now in the AFC, is there a chance they could slide all the way out?
No. No, they're still 8-4. You're looking at the playoffs. Let's see. 7-5 Cincinnati. So Pittsburgh would have to jump you. Pittsburgh currently 6-5-1-8. Indy's at 7-6. They're in ninth, just percentage points behind. Nah, they'll still get it done. They'll still get in.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's better than a 5% chance that the Texans beat the Seahawks.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
There's always a chance. Big Ben, by the way, a little vintage Big Ben, not in terms of like throwing it all over the yard. I mean like rookie Big Ben or just handing it off, doing enough, letting the defense win the game. There was a lot of talk about he being on the brink of retirement. That was news to Big Ben.
Well, I haven't told everybody that. Honestly, we just got done with this game. I'm exhausted, and we play in a couple hours, it feels like. And so that's my focus. My focus is on Minnesota and what we have to do to get ready. I'll address any of that stuff after the season. I've always been a one game at a time, one season at a time person. I'm going to stay that way.
Probably played more than a couple of hours, Big Ben. But Steelers with a big victory. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, Tampa Bay knocks off the Falcons 30-17. Tom Brady still getting it done at 44. Four touchdowns, half of them to Rob Gronkowski. They now have 90 touchdown connections between the two. They pass Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates for second in NFL history. Want to take a guess who they're trailing? Only behind one pair, one tandem in the NFL. Indy, Manning, Harrison, 112. Brady and Gronk have 90 touchdowns.
But he's also
got ways
to
go.
Leads all active players in touchdowns. I want to know who's second on that list.
Whoa, what was the question?
Currently, Gronkowski leads all active players in touchdowns in his career.
Who's second on
and,
that
yeah,
list?
And I don't know. I missed it. ESPN flashed it this morning, and I missed the answer to who would be second because I'm thinking of guys with longevity that had a quarterback. That could it be DeSean Jackson?
No way. I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham.
I think
think it's Jimmy Graham. Brendan hopped in my ear and told me it was Jimmy Graham. Say,
if we were on XM right now or Sirius, there would have been a response that is not worthy of this radio station right now, and I won't do that, but yeah.
Chris Godwin, outstanding. 15 catches in the game yesterday for Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, in the Windy City, the Cardinals getting it done with their defense?
We knew it would be grimy, wet, windy, cold, but I thought our defense played tremendous, creating those takeaways, giving us short fields on offense, so we were able to capitalize a few times, and disjointed offensively, we didn't play as well as we probably could have. Couldn't throw it as well as we would have liked, but proud of the effort, proud that we got the win.
Cardinals are good, man. 10-2 on the season. Did you see their Twitter after the game? They turned the bean, the Chicago bean. They turned it into an L, and then they had a cardinal perched on top. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't really know what it was. I thought it was well done. I'm in the minority on that, though. I thought it was kind of funny what the Cardinals did.
If I had done
their...
that, you guys would have called it a dad joke and crapped all over it. Liked so it. That's just fine.
No, I mean, I give you credit whenever you make funny jokes. No, just they're few and far between.
Yeah, okay.
Chargers beat up on the Bengals yesterday in Cincy, 41-22. I didn't see it going that way. I thought the Bengals would win a close game here. Did you see Joe Burrow's pinky, by the way?
Yeah, it was, I wonder the long-term ramifications of that, too.
I do,
too. That could be something for a team that is actually going to be a Cinderella possible playoff team. That could affect them and their chances to make the playoffs. Look, that was a game of, you talk about a roller coaster. Chargers get out 24-0. Bengals go for two and get it to make it 24-all. Then it gets called back by a penalty, and then Mixon gets stopped. And then after that, the Chargers go on another run, score 17 unanswered, and close the door and close the deal. And you're like, I expected like a back-and-forth type game.
Yeah.
But that was just like you was playing with your emotions the whole time.
It was pretty ugly. Watching that game, it made me feel about both teams, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
That I still feel like both of them are a year away.
I
can't
agree.
Take either one as true AFC contenders just yet. They might sneak into the playoffs. They might be a playoff team. Maybe they win a game in the playoffs. But I don't trust either team to win a stretch of games to go through the
Did
AFC.
Did you
either
see
one
the
AFC
ball
contender.
That Jamar Chase dropped? And
yeah,
I say
dropped a few lately.
But it hit him in both. It could have hit him in a worse spot. It hit him between the left and the right hand, right in the middle of both palms. And then add insult to injury. He didn't drop it. It popped up in the air, and it ended up, instead of a touchdown, being a pick.
Yeah. He's had some dropsies over the last couple of weeks. And then in New York, the Eagles beat the Jets 33-18. Minshew Mania, best quarterback on the Eagles. He showed up dressed in aviators, the bomber jacket, like he was off of Top Gun. Then he had the scene after the game with his dad. Minshew Mania hitting the city of brotherly love. He's better. He's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
I've been telling you, Jalen Hurts could play in this league for a long time in a Taysom Hill-type position. Jalen Hurts, I said it, and I took heat for it early in the season when I said he's not a starting NFL quarterback. I firmly believed it then. I believe it now. Minshew's the best short-term bridge gap answer at quarterback for the Eagles, but they are going to be in the Watson sweepstakes too, in my mind.
Yeah, the only thing that could prevent that is Deshaun Watson wanting to go to Philadelphia.
True.
He'd be silly not to. They got some skill. That defense better than they think, and Miles Sanders. You have the Heisman from Alabama on that team as well. I think Deshaun would actually be a really good fit there in Philadelphia. Was Tyrod Taylor benched about the injury? Was that a true injury that the Texans quarterback faced yesterday? Jake Asman on Jake Asman Day on the station will join us to discuss. That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Said Jake Asman isn't a marathon guy. He's all about the marathon. He's doing the Gal Marathon today. Before we go to the marathon of Jake Asman, we need to tell you about the fact that we talk about sports on a daily basis. And we also, I personally talk, as a lot of the other guys do, about MyBookie. It's the only place for you to lay money down if you're into sports betting. It's MyBookie.ag. And right now, you know, why take a chance on investing in stocks? You can double your money instantly with MyBookie. You can predict when a hunch will pay off and use the promo code BET975. Go to MyBookie.ag. I guarantee you'll double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And the best part is MyBookie accepts everything from credit card to well-known cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum. So you can bet and withdraw from crypto if you want to. This Saturday, UFC closing out 2021 with a bang. Two world title fights going down. UFC 269, headlined by the lightweight championship fight between Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. The fight amounts to a coin flip, but both men have finish rates over 75%. You know it isn't going to be the scorecards. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000. Use the promo code BET975. Get to MyBookie.ag right now. Place your bets. Watch the sparks fly. UFC 269, and while you're there, check out all the other sports and games you can bet on. College football with the playoffs and the bowl season. All the NBA games on a nightly basis. All the pro football games coming up this week and weekend. Bet anytime, anywhere, any place, but do it with MyBookie.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Looking forward to eating after the show. I went to the local grocer today to get my bowl of soup that I like to get sometimes before a show. I was intending to get some New England clam chowder, and I got the one next to it by accident. Didn't quite strike favor with me. I'm an idiot sometimes. I really am. I'm a moron that got the wrong soup that was labeled properly.
This ruined your entire day?
I'm not happy about it. I don't think it ruined my entire day, but might have ruined the first, 12 to 3.
I get it.
Jake Hasman of the Will House.
Might ruin a Gal Media bathroom stall.
Didn't do that.
You haven't left the building yet. We don't know.
I mean, I could.
You said it's not sitting well.
I mean, I could tell you about the next 11 minutes, though, unless it hits me quickly.
Okay.
I think maybe you
can't if you'd have to make a run for the hills.
I feel like if it was going to hit me that way, it already would have, though, right?
Just go down to the second floor. Whatever you do down there doesn't affect us.
Fifth or third. Jake Asman of the Will House, who's joining every show today. He was on with the Granato on the bench today. He filled in. How many minutes you fill in for the Charlie Polillo show?
That's a good question.
First segment or so?
I did one full segment on my own, and then I would say 3/4 of the second segment, and then Patrick showed up, and then I did crosstalk with him for about 3 to 4 minutes. Then we went to break, and I finally got out of there at like 10:30.
And now he's going to do crosstalk with us. Then he's going to be hosting his own show with the guys from 3 to 7 right here. And then tonight he's doing a solo Late Hits that he doesn't know about just yet.
Late Hits, and then tomorrow I'm going on with Glenn Davis for Soccer Matters. Yeah. I'm also going to be on the Buzz Williams Aggie coaching show later.
You're going to call in a question? You should.
No. I'm actually co-hosting the show with him. It's Jake Asman Day on ESPN Houston.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable.
I wonder if Andrew Monaco knows that yet.
Like all the dating sites and everything, so chicks can just come out of the woodwork because of your popularity and full coverage?
Look, someone needs to step up. Today we had Gal Media Inception, though, right? We had Lance was off, so I filled in for Lance with John.
Right.
And then Charlie's off. So Patrick was filling in for
Charlie.
Well, you said it, not me. Patrick then is filling in for Charlie. He runs late, so I'm filling in for Patrick, who's filling in for Charlie. I mean, we had just post rearrangement.
Did we say something once?
Didn't we just say all that?
You did.
I was recapping my day.
Well, he recapped it for you earlier, but that's good. Redundancy is positive reinforcement. The thing that's kind of good and lost in all this is a regular occurrence with Patrick Creighton. Like, I think Patrick Creighton may be one of the worst, like, plan your day and schedule ahead of time kind of thing. Because he used to have people people all the time, got stuck in traffic, going to be a little late. I mean, I get it if you're a little late for a class at school or you're going to be a little late for a doctor's appointment. But these are pretty cut and dried. You probably should be here at the start of every time you're going to be on a show.
First I've heard of it, but I haven't been here very long.
So. It's happened before. But you know what? I mean, he was dealing with some Houston traffic. There was a bad accident.
It's an accident.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm happy to help.
Texans yesterday get embarrassed at home. You had some thoughts about it. I haven't had a chance to listen, but I saw it. They fall to the Colts 31-0. You think Tyrod Taylor was actually hurt, or was it David Culley trying to find a way to get Davis Mills into the game?
Do I think he was hurt? Sure. Do I think it was something that prevented him from going back in? Had he been playing well? Had the team been in the game? No. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was horrendous yesterday, and I think David Culley used it as a way to get Davis Mills some more reps, and now they're going to say, oh, well, Tyrod needs another week. It kind of opens the door for them to go back to Davis Mills here and let him get some mop-up duty experience here down the stretch.
Yeah. Neither one was very good, though. I mean, you look at Davis Mills, he was pretty lousy in that game yesterday as well.
He did do something Tyrod didn't do, though.
Cross midfield?
Well, that, but he also completed a pass to a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, yeah.
They got a first down. Like, there were some things I saw from Davis Mills that I was like, all right, this guy stinks, but he was a little less stinkier than Tyrod Taylor.
They both stunk.
Can I just say that the one thing we haven't had time to talk about, you guys might not either, but I said it to him in the break, this Kenny Pickett thing, did you see it?
The QB slide.
Yeah, he went to fake the slide and then went 58 yards for a touchdown. People lost their mind on social media. Look, I made the comparison to Jeremy. It's the first time that when Dan Marino was going to down a football and instead threw a touchdown pass. It's like, okay, I get it. Spike, yeah. But at the same time, the rules have to change, right? Because if a defender hits anybody, even in the start of the sliding process as a quarterback, it's 15. Mm-hmm. And you might, in college, you might be thrown out of the game.
Sure.
So instead, because you're easing up because you know he's going to slide, and then he does the old okey-doke on you, it's one thing to say, yeah, that my bad. But the other thing to say, his bad, too, because someone's got to change those rules. That was brutal.
Yeah, I give him credit for doing it because he didn't break a rule. But the rule itself is flawed if it's designed to protect the quarterback and he's getting away with the fake slide and then keeps running. I respect the hell out of the approach. Like, he didn't break a rule. He played within the rules.
It was cagey, right? It was like Harden used to always push it to the brink of exploiting the rule without breaking it.
It was gamesmanship.
But at the same time, if he does that, he fakes a slide or he actually slides next time and gets his bell rung, I have no sympathy for him.
No, I agree. I think they got to change the rule, though, because the rule is designed to protect the quarterback. He just basically used the rule to juke out the entire defense of Wake Forest and score an easy touchdown.
I liked the play. I liked what he did. I liked trying to get as far as you can within the rule. That said, I agree with you guys that you have to change the way the rule is written. Like, I wonder what the language has to be, though. Like, is it the start? Like, once you've been down? Because he didn't really do it. I mean, he kind of just squatted down, right? Like, he never stuck his foot up like he was going to slide. He kind of just leaned back a little bit and then took off. So I wonder what the language of the rule has to look like.
I think the language would end up leading itself to be somewhat of under the official's discretion. If you look like you're attempting to begin the slide process, that the ball is dead officially where you started that. Because right now, as the rule is, it's the minute you hit the ground as you start the sliding process at the start of it. Yep. I think you just take it a step further and say, at the official's discretion, if it looks like, or to the defender's point of view, it looks like you were starting the slide, whether you execute and fully go through it or not, I think that's where you have to step in.
Does that fake slide make you want the Texans to draft Kenny Pickett more or less?
More. Because tells me he's smart.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So half the battle of being a good quarterback in the NFL is, can you process information? Can you read defenses? I like my guy knowing the rules and knowing the ins and outs of it. So I have no issue with it at all.
What's coming up on – oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say I'm with Jake as well. I like the fact that the guy cares enough and he's cagey enough to try and – push it to the limit to get the victory or get a touchdown. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I like it too. Jake, what you have coming up on the Wheelhouse?
4 more hours of radio for me. Looking forward to it. That'll be 7.5 hours today. And then maybe the late hits after that. We'll see how that goes. Just kidding about that last part. We're going to be all over that.
Pat's got to drive back, right?
Is he coming in? I heard from a source Patrick Creighton was spotted at Kenny and Ziggy's earlier today.
It's not shocking. He likes Kenny and Ziggy's, but the thing is if he had to go home at all to do anything family-related and drive back, you will be doing late.
I hope it was after his show, because it could explain why he was late. Waiting on the deli. What is it called? Delicatessen? Something like that?
Delicatessen.
I don't know that word. I'm not...
Just say deli. You got
a sandwich lover.
You're a food sandwich and soup lover. And you
don't love sandwiches.
Okay. Try the pastrami, and you'll never go wrong at Kenny and Ziggy.
Any kind of sandwich, you ain't going to go wrong at Kenny and Ziggy.
All right, appreciate you coming in, Jake. We'll be looking forward to the show. We had a couple of texts earlier asking about, like, are we asked the texters what they were going to, like, what their sign would be in front of Cal McNair's suite. 6927 saying, not sure I like the Tommy Boy reference. Tommy Boy ended up saving his dad's company. Is he saying that Ron, or is Ron saying that Cal will do the same? That's because he's kind of a buffoon, right? That's the Tommy Boy reference. And then 8755 saying, sell the team. The team is a joke. Cal does not care. Cal is an Easter Bee puppet.
Pretty much, yeah.
Those were the best two. Monday Night Football tonight. I'm looking forward to this game. Patriots 8-4 at Buffalo taking on the Bills. I like the Bills side of it. They're giving 2.5 points. I'm taking the Bills tonight.
I think the Bills are trying to make a statement again and make sure everybody knows, hey, we had a slip up against the Jags. We're on the right path. We handled our business on Thanksgiving. Now we're going to establish ourselves with the Chiefs offense looking less than stellar, like the best team in the AFC.
One of the better Monday Night Football games in a while, though. The Patriots are back. The Bills were supposed to be a dark horse, or maybe a popular pick to win the AFC. Looking forward to Monday Night Football tonight. It's going to do it for us. I want to thank Brendan Riley for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Houston, the Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.